I'm calling the meeting of the June 20th, 2017 regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Commissioner Born?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. So. Okay, consent agenda items. A through E are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda? You've all received this in your agenda packet?
Correct.
I do not.
No, no, no. Okay. Okay, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Got that?
Okay.
Commissioner Born?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Okay, matters from the public. This is the opportunity to get input from the public on any matter that's coming before the board. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. We will take input under advisement, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes per person. If you do want to speak, we invite you to stand at the podium and give your name and address.
I don't think it's on. I don't think you need it.
It's a small crowd.
It's a small crowd.
I was hoping to talk about the Astor Park plans. So we live right next door at 644 Sunset Lane, so we border the park. Kevin Batson. So I have a bunch of questions, but I guess if we're not answering questions, let me explain kind of my concern to make sure that the board hears everything. So we saw online today this conceptual picture. Looks great, beautiful, the park. I think our biggest concern throughout has been kind of the green space area, which, to be honest, the older boys in the area, including our three sons, used more than they use the playground space. So, wanted to understand, actually, what's in the corner up here is sort of missing from the picture that we have. I can give this to you guys. That's helpful.
I think it's the same thing.
We just didn't see, I think our piece got cut off.
It was only sent to show the benches.
The benches, mm-hmm. Got it.
Which was someone's comment.
Yeah,
so that's not online.
A lot of comments on the benches.
Would
you mind?
Sure.
So yeah, we are, reorient myself here. Yeah, so the driveway here, that's our driveway kind of coming up. We're mostly concerned with this area and want to make sure that this is as kind of green as
the board, yeah.
There's the board.
These guys are good.
Chill down.
So, the baby's breakout is, kind of 7 under playing over here. Little kids, all play here. Other boys are playing kind of baseball, football, field sports in here. Today, there's only trees. There's no kind of planting. There's no fence. Completely understand the need for the fence around the main streets. I think it's supremely important to us, not to have these kind of plantings and this, as it sort of takes away from the usable space for the boys that they're trying to play football, baseball, so on and so forth. I think I assume it's just aesthetics, and I'm sure it would be pretty, but I think from a usage perspective, the more green the better. Like for example, this is the football touchdown, right? And so it's taking, I don't know if there's measurements, but that's probably 5 or 7 feet of the field, right? Whereas this tree, if only the tree was there, there'd be that much more usage. I'm not entirely sure what this is over here. If that's planting, I would have the same similar questions. I can't tell by looking at it. I think that's what's most important to us. I think the park is terrific. I mean, it's beautiful, really. And I think everybody in the neighborhood would be happy with it. So those are my concerns.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You were going to talk about
other business. Yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any comments?
Okay. Hi, my name is
Nicole. I'm with the Pittsburgh Horseman Sunday. And first, I want to thank you for doing Astor Park. It's definitely need. And I know it takes a lot of time and effort for you guys to do this. My concern, or I have a couple things. Just for you all to know, I am a stay-at-home mom, so I'm there all the time. I have three boys. They're constantly outside. So I am a wonderful person to tell you how this park is used. I am there constantly when I drive in now and forever. I was there the whole weekend. And a couple things. The field, the green space, it is used as much or more than the other spaces. Not that the other spaces aren't going to be used as people enjoy, but the green space is mostly used. So I said that, Jeff, we just saw that like 20 minutes ago. I think it's super important to leave that as a green space. And when we talked to, at the beginning of this, we talked about leaving the green space and not, while the playground tent was not expanded, putting landscape takes away the green space. And it, you know, so I think we were told we're going to leave the green space and even landscape can take mm-hmm. it away. The mention, I know you've gotten a lot of emails. I started the conversation. I do believe that the less obstacles near a green space is important. While it's not common to run into them, it's there. And while someone's catching a foul ball, it can happen. And I didn't think it's necessary. On the flip side, because it's not just about my children, I thought about the kids, the people sitting on the benches. And I know you've seen this in emails, but the people don't want to sit where 10 kids are playing. I don't see an adult wanting to go there and sit there. It's, you know, it's a beautiful playground that is being landscaped. So spending all this money to make this gorgeous, I don't see why that's where the benches would be put. Also, by the sandbox, which happens to be the most popular place in the playground, they love it. Right now, there's a picnic table where the sandbox is. It's smaller, but it's there, and there's a picnic table. Every time, if anyone's there, it's most of the time at the sandbox. And that's where people will be with young children, with toddlers and babies. And that's where you want the seating. By the swings, people will be pushing their child, or there'll be kids that know how to swing, or there'll be kids running around with a football. So I don't see why we have two benches in that area. I think we could use that where people, the 2 to 5 area, which is on the opposite side of the swings, and the gorgeous sandbox, that's where you want the space. There's a bench and there's a picnic table, and very rarely is there anyone sitting on it. So to triple, there's 2 extra benches into the plan. I don't see why they're necessary, but if they are, if you want to add seating, those should be moved where people with young children should be. Again, it's not where there's 8-year-olds playing, people pushing themselves on, people swinging themselves, or a nanny or parent pushing their child. It just, to me, doesn't make sense. And I see that part, and I'm thinking of the people who use the park. And it's truly, a lot of it is the sandbox, and it's important to me because it's something I see, and I'm thinking of the people who use the park, and I just think...
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I don't want to speak long, but I just want to show my support for what they're saying. I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. I live around the corner. I'm going to be ashamed of her. I live at 575 Orchard Lane, and I think it would maybe be beneficial if you guys wanted to take time to come and watch the kids play. The way it is now, or I guess the park is all the best because the kids really use that green space. The yards are small in Glencoe, and so when you have that big green area like that, the kids make it into a baseball diamond, they make it into a football field, and it's really valuable to them and as parents and taxpayers as well. So I hope you take it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all the public that's here, okay. Shall we move on to the financial report?
Sure, Carol?
Yeah, we are now 3 months, 25% into the new fiscal year. It's still a little early in regards to really making some, you know, good comparisons. As I spoke about in our earlier finance committee in the whole meeting, some of the things, i.e. recreation revenues, or I should say the surplus, were kind of even, but when you take into consideration that the kindergarten program revenues were in last year, they're not in this year, we're probably above where we were last year, so that's a good thing. Still a little early on the beach, you know, we've had more cooler weather than last year. I wouldn't, you know, there's not a whole lot of comparisons yet that we can make. I know that compared to Memorial Day last year, it was a lot hotter weather, and so we probably did see a decrease in the daily fees for that first weekend. Again, it's the first weekend, but it does kind of set the tone of, it might be a little bit cooler summer. As such, you know, we're not probably going to see the significant revenues that we saw last year. Although, you know what, a month of July and August, coming back, and we could. So, you know, it's just something that we kind of pay attention on, kind of run, you know, mid-month reports to see where we're at, and as Mike and his staff, if it does get cooler or it's rainier, then he makes the adjustments to the expenditure side of it and send staff home, and we really watch our expenses more. So, other than that, I really don't have anything unless you have questions.
With the implementation of credit card capability at the beach and some of the other electronic or internet type enhancements that we've made this year over last year, is that making your accounting somewhat simplified?
It is helping, yes. There was a lot of manual. Right. Taking information from manual cash registers, the reports, you have to enter it into the financial system because we're all integrated in our registration system. Those reports are integrated from a file that's uploaded into the
financial
system. Yeah. The first weekend, I want to say nearly 60% of the revenues that we collected were via credit card. So I know that people are happy with the ability and the flexibility to not have to have cash. That'll help. You know, it's a little tricky with the equipment. We've had some adjustments to the carts, to the power supply, a couple of tweaky things with the cash register drawers. Something happens with the setting. We've had to fix it. But Bobby and his staff have been doing a great job, and it really has made it easier for us.
So if that's working well, has there been any discussion on taking the next steps, where we would use phones or these other new...
No. Actually, that would cost us a tremendous amount of money to be able to personally... Yeah. Not to mention that we're all about unplug and play, and what a great place to go down the beach and unplug and play.
Okay. So don't bring your phone to the beach.
Okay. Lisa, just a tweet here. I took a photo of my beach pass. So I could hold my phone up instead of dragging it.
Did it work?
Yeah, it does.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah. I actually done that with tickets before. Yeah.
I like that.
That's great. It's a good tip to tell people. All right.
Okay. Let's hear about recreation and facilities.
You have anything else with the business department? I'm sorry.
Not really.
Don't want to feel Carol to feel like, you know.
I've already had the first meeting. I'm good.
She just has talked for an hour already, so you don't know. All right. Recreation facility.
All right, so we finished up our testing program for an app for the children's circle, so continuing along with technology. We've made the decision to go with the Brightwheel app, which we'll be rolling out over the next couple months, hoping to have it in full swing by the time the school year's starting for children's circle. So we spent a month testing, we had focus groups with parents, a lot of great feedback on all the apps. The teachers especially loved this one, so the parents said if it works for the teachers, it works for us. So we're excited to get that going. That'll be another nice implementation of technology that it seems like all the parents are very excited for. But other than that, camp started this week. They're going very, very well. It kind of actually marks the end of our preseason training, which has been going on for a month. So, you know, it's always really important for us to invest in the part-time staff and give them as much training as we possibly can. We did almost 100 hours of part-time staff training this year in the recreation department. So we feel like we're ready for a great summer.
I'd like to thank Mike because he did a great job with that app. He had the parents of Children's Circle involved, also the teachers. They had meetings at night to talk about it. So he took the input of both the teachers and the parents. So the ease of the teachers using it to keep it up to date, because we know if it's not easy for them, they would not use the tool. So he did a great job integrating the parents and the teachers to find the best product out there to help us communicate. So we'll keep on moving that way. And a great start to camp. We were back at the drop-off line, which works out great, but of course, the first day of camp, right at pickup, torrential downpours. And you know what? They moved, they changed, and they were flexible. It took a little longer than we wanted, but the first day of camp is always hard, so they did a great job. So we have a great team for day camp. We have one of the best, I might be a little biased, I don't know, day camps in the North Shore, but phenomenal start to the summer, so we're looking forward to continued great time. And we started our new aquatic camp down at the beach, and that's going very well. So,
what is the water temperature?
Cold?
So I think it was, they said 68 or something like that, right?
At least 60.
60? Still 60? I was just trying, you know.
Positive thinking.
I was positive, I was hoping that warm.
The swimmers do a great job keeping the kids in and out of the water and letting them dry off and not being in the water for too long. They're on, if they're sailing, they're out on the boats, they're trying not to get wet.
Yeah.
If they get wet, they come in. So all we've heard is positive reviews from the parents and the kids. Everyone seems to be really enjoying themselves when they're down there. So
nice job. Great start of summer.
What's that?
Oh, good question. Yes, it is. So again, Chris did a great job on that one too. When we found out when it went out, we were concerned, and luckily there was no preschool and no preschool camps going on that week, so that was good. But Children's Circle was there. So he was able to take two units from our beach and and we purchased two other additional units to put a temporary air conditioning. It wasn't ideal. It didn't get to the temperature we wanted. It was better than nothing.
Yeah.
So he had the guys out there. They did a temporary fix that will last us through the summer. We'll have to do additional work on our air conditioning units when the season's over. But at least it was up and running by the first day of camp, where they had to wear sweaters on that day. So nice job on that. His team worked very fast on that. Yeah, we had a heck of a week last week and this week. Let me tell you.
By the way, don't drink the water.
Yes, and then the water happened. You can drink it now. All right, Chris.
A few highlights. Dan Edwards has joined our parks team full time. Dan was a seasonal with us last year. He's a Parks and Natural Resource Management graduate from Whitewater, so we're really happy to have him join the team. We've come up to full staff for the first time in several years, so we have all of our full-time positions filled, which is very exciting.
Very nice.
A few highlights from this month is we completed painting of the pier railings, so the pier is less rusty. In addition, we put in a drainage system at Clock Park along the sidewalk. As you may recall, we had some feedback after the project that we were getting some pooling in some high traffic areas. So as you know, we didn't have drainage in the scope of that project, so we needed to come back. We put in what's called like a French drain system. So we put in holding tanks out there. The water flows into the holding tanks and then slowly dissipates out into the ground. It also gives us a place to pump from in case we have heavy rain. So the system's been in place for 3 weeks now. We have not flooded the pathway once in that park in 3 weeks.
Even in our storm?
We had to pump it out after that torrential rain. We did pump it out. Mm-hmm. But it was done in-house as a very low-cost solution to a tough spot.
How did you figure out how to do it?
Previously, we here in Glencoe were fortunate to be able to tie into storm sewer at our parks and playgrounds and take water away. At the previous district I was at in Des Plaines, we had a lot of flood, so you couldn't tie into the storm sewer. So these types of receptacles were pretty commonplace in our park design, so I had that experience, and we transitioned architectural drawings from another park to use that system, and captured that the value of the McCain-Millis Park renovation twice. So
and in-house, so
yeah,
it's just to use
kudos.
Your team.
Yeah. So we had our parks department and also our facilities department. So our facility tech and our facility maintenance supervisor, so it was all hands on deck, and they got it done in about a 6-hour period. So
mm-hmm.
It was, they were really proud of it, and it just gave them a challenge. So
very creative thinking for that solution to that problem. So
if you walk along the pathway, you might find a drain cover there, and that's what it is. So in addition, we did have a little bit of a drought. We had 20 days in a row without rain in Glencoe here. So that gave us a great environment to test all our field irrigation systems. So we had to make a few adjustments here and there. We did make a late season fertilizer application in Berlin, as well as making some adjustments to the irrigation system to get that field as green as we wanted it to be. So we've seen some major improvement there in the color and the condition of that turf since we made those adjustments. So any questions?
Nope. Or
the green trim.
Well, green is the new green for Berlin, Stephen. It's green without paint. So
hey, it's looking very good now.
My predecessor was accused of painting a field once, so I didn't go that route, but it's green again. So
it's looking really good. Yeah, we did have quite a bit of time without rain, so it's great. So we weren't mowing a lot this spring. We were doing other projects.
Yeah,
I had a question. Do we cut the grass on Wyman Green too?
We do.
Around villages?
Yeah, so we cut all the village's grass. So everything that belongs to the village is part of our landscape contract except Wyman Green. So Wyman Green, we manage that like a high-profile park district park. So we do fertilizer applications there, aerating. We help them with the irrigation system. And our staff also cut Wyman Green.
Okay.
And when needed, they help with the French market on Saturdays for movements and stuff. So
great.
Yeah. Okay.
So we provide that support through the shared services agreement.
That's great. All right.
Okay. Moving right along, marketing and communications. Yeah.
I don't have much to add beyond my report other than I hope you watched our gold medal finalist video. It was posted on the website. That was a big project for me in May. Slightly.
So I have to give Erin some kudos. She took the lead on that. Everybody gave her a little bit of ideas, but definitely she tweets it and got the actors worked with staff. So the actors in that gold medal video are from our Broadway Bounce program. So we're excited about that. So there's over 100 children in the video.
Yeah, we have kids from Kids Club, ELC, various after-school programs. Steve saw us at the baseball field.
Josh saw me driving the car.
Yeah.
So, but if you haven't... It's not mine, but it is for sale. My friend's selling it. So. No, it's a...
Beautiful vintage.
Yes, it's for sale if anybody... You know, there you go.
We are also hoping to use some of that footage on some social media posts this summer during National Recreation Month.
Yes, so excellent job on that. So if you haven't seen it, please go to our website and see it. And you can also go to the websites of, for the gold medal, the other finalists have to post their gold medal on their website also. So you can see some of the other park districts that are finalists also in our category and other categories. So I know that Arlington Heights is a finalist in a different category. Evanston's a
our
finalist.
Our photographer also worked on Arlington Heights.
Yeah. So check those out too, so.
Yeah,
nice job.
In the report, you have a click-through rate of 25% on the May 28th special week camp email, which mm-hmm. is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
I wouldn't talk about why that was so good. I'm going to steal them.
It's good. Oh, it's
camp. You know, I have to really look at the stats to see which links got clicks, but yeah, that was...
That's try specialty camps, yeah, camps.
A lot of it also depends on who you target it too. So if it's a more targeted email, we get more clicks.
Sure. Congrats on that. That's an awesome charts
number.
Thanks. Sounds good.
Terrific. Okay, safety committee.
Really no updates besides that. I mean, we just, our annual, you know, Chris and Carol, do you have to add anything to the report at all?
No, no. Not at this time.
Nope.
No. Okay. It's good that we have it.
Yes.
And now the executive director's
all
report.
Right. All right. So we had our seasonal training on May 25th. So kudos to Mike and his team because they are the ones that organize and lead that one. So they did something what I call the pursuit of park district knowledge and sent all of our seasonal workers all throughout town learning in a fun way all the different aspects of policies, procedures, parks. So it was a phenomenal event, great feedback from the staff. As you can see, they're all wearing their Get Your Play On t-shirts, which is our summer theme this year. So Capital Projects update, obviously West is well on its way, construction, that's, they're working on that one first. Aster was just finished, and no work has started in there yet. Take a parking, we're gonna be approving, I'm sorry, what?
We're out to bid on the fitness and...
Okay, I'll get to it. Take a parking, we're approving that design tonight. In Cauk Park, we already talked about the repair on that, and for the fitness center, we are out to bid on that, and we will go out to bid on take-up after we complete the plan. That's it. And Berlin, as we talked about, there's some brownie occurred, but staff made adjustments, and it's looking great now. Same with Cauk Park. We have the Glencoe Beach Lakefront Advisory Group. We sent out a message because we have some openings to fill. We're going to extend that deadline to July 30th, even though we got a great response on the email we sent out. We're still waiting, so please refer anybody, not just boaters, beachers, we want neighbors, park users to be on that Lakefront Advisory Committee. We're accepting applications. At this point, we have more applications than spots. So we'll sit down and talk about who should be on there. Yeah, that was great. Great feedback. We love have members of our community give us input on that. So the next meeting is Tuesday, July 19th at 6:30 at the beach. The French Market opened up. That's a cooperative effort between the Park District, Chamber of Commerce takes a lead, and the Village. And so that's open now from 8 to 1. So that's great. 4th of July, hope you all be in town. We're busy planning on that. We do the brunt of that planning also with the Village assistance, especially with road closures and public safeties. And the Village runs the parade event. But everything is going on as scheduled, you know, on target. Dudley, thank you for being at the Memorial Day event. That was very nice. You did a phenomenal job. We did want to bring up, I had some questions about Children's Circle Daycare. So we have noticed, because we watched the trends of this program, we have noticed that while revenue remains consistent to last year, our expenses are a little higher, and we've identified a number of factors that, and we've made some adjustments to that, to adjust for that. As you're aware, we did our salary survey, and this we implemented, I think, our last adjustment for those salaries. We made two adjustments this year to bring them up to what the norm of other daycare teachers make in the area. Am I missing something?
No.
No, okay. And we also noticed that we're going through a little bit of growing pains with our infant care. When we opened it up, we didn't get all the infants in right away, and a lot of the infants were holding spaces. So while when they got pregnant, they're like, we want to hold the space. And we were holding that space, but no one was paying. So what we did is, we made an adjustment in our policies now that requires if someone wants it, say an infant came right away and you're first on the wait list, and they say, I want to go in this program right now, we go to the first person on the wait list, and the first person on the wait list says, you know, I'm not ready to go into it, but I want to hold my spot. I want to guarantee 6 weeks from now that they would pay 50% of their spot. So we are getting at least some revenue into that program. Am I speaking correctly? So we notice that adjustment. We feel that once we get infant care for about a year and a half, 2 years, there won't be that problem. They'll be consistent. They'll be going into that program and going on. All of our other rooms are filled on that. Anything else I'm missing, Carol and Mike, on this one?
Kind of the restructuring of the rooms based on the CFM standards really related to infant care. Kind of took a couple of enrollments out of the way totally.
So I think that was probably the biggest thing. And infant care requires a much higher ratio. And there always has to be teachers. So in where our other rooms, if they have standard nap times, a teacher can go for their lunch break and you have one teacher in there. In infant care, you always have to have all your teachers in there. So if someone goes on lunch break, you have to bring someone in. So we're still making adjustments for that. But we're not overly concerned. We're making the necessary adjustments to counteract that. We just want you to know we're keeping an eye on that, so that you're aware of that. We're recommending a Monday, July 10th for our next committee meeting. That was changed from that Tuesday 11th, so make sure you get on your calendar at 6:30. That will be the start of our capital project planning for next 3 years. I believe we sent Outlook to for your calendars now, if they accept it. So I think most of you are accepting, so I think they're going through. I know, Lisa, you have problems if you're out of town when it goes through, so I just want to make sure that you have that on your calendar. So, and then just in the future, just make sure you mark it down the first Tuesday of the month for committee meetings, if at all possible. Just we are recommending that traditionally in August we do not have, if we don't have any emergency matters or pressing matters, we cancel our August and our August board and committee meetings. We don't see any pressing matters at this time, so we recommend canceling those meetings. We put you through a lot of meetings this year, and we know that's vacation time, so it's just a lot of times easier. So we don't have anything. Other than that, I think that's it. Any questions? Okay. Okay. Go to action items.
Ready to move on?
I am.
Okay. First item is for me to entertain a motion to approve the fiscal year 2016-17 annual audit as presented.
So moved. Second.
Okay.
Discussion? We sort of discussed this before.
Yeah, we did.
Is there anything else?
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, next item. Entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 872, an ordinance adopting prevailing wage rates to be paid to laborers, mechanics, and other workers performing construction of public works in the Glen Cove Park District, County, Illinois, as presented.
So moved.
Discussion?
No, we already do this.
We have to legally do this every year. We don't have. We do, and we, but we every year we have to legally adopt this.
Well, the rates typically change. That's really
good. Yes, we do.
Roll call.
Okay.
Commissioner Braun?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. Next item. I entertain a motion to approve public participation guidelines during board meetings and committee meetings as presented.
So moved. Second.
Discussion?
Just pick whoever. Discussion? Okay. Is this an all favor one?
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve concept.
Oh, wait, did we say all favor? Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. There we go.
Okay. Ready?
Yep, we're ready.
Entertain a motion to approve Concept Plan A, Phase A and B, and Concept Plan B, Bioswale. Typical. also to include designing the pathways in concrete with an alternative bid to include asphalt and designing Concept B, Bioswale by the staff parking area as an alternative bid as presented. Everybody got that? Okay, do we have a moving?
Second.
Discussion? Now, this was in your agenda packet.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a committee meeting on this.
We had a committee, and they recommended forwarding it on. So we did add the bigger bias way on the back, and that was wasn't moved forward by committee, but the architects felt strongly is that we should probably see what the price is, decide if we want to, since we're doing all this work in this field anyways. The board may choose to do it at this time. It'd probably be over our budget, but we wanted to give an option. So we could always deny it, but it's worth discussion to see, since we're doing so much work down there.
Wait, so are we approving both the dark green bias wells?
We're approving just to go to bid for them, not the bidded amount. So,
but for both.
Yes, the front one and the back. So the back one would be the alternate. The front one would be part of the.
Yes.
And it's part of the plan. Yeah.
Okay. Anything? Any other discussions? No. Roll call.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we're doing these plans. We need to entertain a motion to approve the contract with Altamanu for additional architectural design services for the TACOP Center parking pathway project in the amount of $41,392, which brings the total design fees for the project up to $72,000. The board further authorizes the executive director to fully develop and execute the terms of the contract as presented.
So moved.
Second. Discussion? Okay.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I see we have some signs on the wall over there.
We do.
I entertain a motion to approve park ID sign guidelines as presented. And you want to say anything about that?
So, this is, we had our park tour, which we talked about this, and we showed signs. So we brought the signs and put them on the wall. And they look bigger in the room, just so you know, outside of the park. But we took the wide away. So that really big one, Henry J. Clock Park, was only used for major parks. So really, we have no intention in using that sign again. It's at Clock Park and
Veterans. Berlin
is kind of a hybrid because of the donation, because those are the high profile downtown. They're not across from a neighborhood as such. The other parks signs, and we put it in the report exactly where we would use those signs, so you know, are those other two signs. So these two signs will be what is in the majority of our parks. So neighborhood parks like Astor would get the smaller one in the middle. Friends, which was on this side?
That's the actual size of Friends Park.
Yeah, the middle one. The end one. So that's when we went by in the bus, that's the size of Friends Park. And then as you saw in the packet, we, based on the board discussion, we talked about the posts. So we changed them to very simple design that goes, so that will go with every sign. It's just a basic post.
Okay, so I'm looking for a motion to approve the ID, unless there's discussion. Well, we have to have the motion.
Yep.
Or we have discussion.
Motion and then discussion.
Motion
and discussion,
yeah. Why would you decide
for? What?
You asked for a discussion, so.
No, okay, we're going to have a motion. Let's start again. Entertain a motion to approve the park ID sign guidelines as presented.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. And now there's discussion.
Yes.
Speaking of discussion, there was some discussion during our tour, I think from Commissioner Gaines, that the large signs are too large.
Right.
And 37 years when we next decided to replace them, those commissioners might carry that thought forward and reduce the size.
And as you see in the sign policy, in order to put that sign in the future, it would call for board approval.
All right.
And just a point, no more signs will be of that size.
Those are the only two signs.
The only two signs in the whole district.
Yeah, they're in the downtown, not across from the neighborhood, yes. And any future signs that go in that size would have to be board approved.
So for instance, when we do Lakefront Park,
yes,
that issue may come up at that time, but if that size sign is deemed appropriate for that space, it still requires approval.
It would be board approval. And I don't think we're expecting that when I think
we're
we did that site. Yeah,
okay.
That one at that end.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's across from houses and things.
So we're done with that.
Pretty much, just in those two parts. And then 20 years when they can decide this lower.
And we all, are we in agreement that the post, and I thought it was a pure genius comment that we had made, I don't know where it came, but that the posts without the ornate sort of specific design.
Simple.
So this is very
just simple.
Modern kind of plain. Mm-hmm.
Simple, yeah.
Might.
Yeah, we like that.
A visual, just clutter.
Right.
Yes.
This is very common in park signs, so it's a nice, simple design.
Yeah, so the company that created the signs last year came. came up with the post, the updated post based on.
Can I just ask, do they have to go above the line, or can they just leave
a lot? Oh, to be lined up?
Yeah.
Do you know, Aaron?
No. They do not.
They do not have to be above.
When the signs are delivered to the park district, the posts are separate.
Oh.
So we have the ability to set the height of the post in the ground and the height of the post on the sign and the location of the post. For instance, at Friends Park, the posts are actually behind the sign based on the small bed. At other sites, the signs, the posts are on the sides of the sign based on the size of the sign and the location.
So we could have it level. So we would just take that ornate top off because you wouldn't need it.
Yeah.
So if you wanted something that was just flush,
yeah,
we could adjust that also.
So the fact that they're on the sides is because that's the way the signs are secured to the posts. That they could be moved around however we would need.
And then adjust the frames and adjust
the height. Right.
So how will we come to that decision when the time comes, Chris? I
think that the height of the sign at Friends Park would probably be the baseline we would use for the neighborhood park size. I mean, because it is an identifier. You know, obviously at Berlin, the name of the park is much closer to the ground based on the unique nature of those signs. I mean, I think that the Friends Park sign would probably serve as the template for the height of the sign. I mean, we won't really be dealing with the...
Chris, I think we just have to, when we go in, we look at the bad planting, because mm-hmm. if there's a big planting and it goes over the sign, well, then you post it a little higher.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm addressing her comment.
If you want to...
It was flush, but I don't know.
Right. If you guys want to say, we don't want anything above, then just make that direction now and just say, we want it flush. We want it this cut off here, so there's nothing above the sign. And we could go that moving forward and then adjust the size of the height of the sign based on the planting beds. Because there might be bushes there,
sure,
which require it a little higher so it doesn't cover, you don't want it to cover the name, you know. It might be lower, if there's only flowers that could plant it there, we would lower it.
So how do we feel about that?
Well, I think there's a variety of personal preferences and aesthetics that would be put forward. The sign that I'm looking at Lisa's computer now is what I would call a traditionally mounted sign, where the posts do extend above the sign. And I'm very comfortable with that. Other people might prefer something else.
It's all subjective, isn't it?
So subjective.
So subjective. Everybody, you know, will think something different, but that's what you guys are on the board for.
I think we did a good job of outlining things into the signage guidelines as presented, mm-hmm. so that we don't wind up with anything unexpected or any surprises. That was the intent of the guidelines.
Yeah, but if you guys, if you want to give us directions, if you want to give us directions, I would like to know that instead of putting them in the park and then you don't like it. So if you want it just like that, if the majority of the board wants it like that, that's fine.
I would rather you decide, but
okay.
They've run into
problems.
Yeah. Five opinions.
So they want us to design.
I'm shaking a little bit, yeah.
yeah.
Aesthetic consideration, you want to think about it.
No, I'm not ready to consider it. I'm trying to monitor the modern aesthetic. I think that that's the goal of not having the posts. So to get rid of this, to me, is cleaner, mm-hmm. and the focus is more on the sign.
I've seen a lot of parks that have that way too, so we're fine with that. If you just want to cut it off here.
I'm absolutely fine with both alternatives.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. Should we
just standardize that, that's fine.
Okay. All right, so we're going to do it level. The post will be level. Make the alternate adjustment to the post will be level to the sign. Okay?
So the
Thank
post
you.
Will not extend over the top.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And so the middle size sign is pocket park size.
Yeah. Is what?
Pocket park.
Yeah, pocket park size, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good way to say
it.
Just wait, tell me before it's out in the park, okay?
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so we're just
we need to vote, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We did this so moves were on roll call.
Okay. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks? Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lutton?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Other business. Did you want to share anything with us on other business?
If you want to talk about Astor Park, this would be the place to do it. After talking to board members, this is very much a preliminary planting plan. It's very preliminary. We just received it. We just wanted to give the board a little bit of idea what the plantings look like around that area. Keeping in mind the green space, we believe that we have extended with this plan the current green space about 3 feet from what court currently has. We're going to put this.
3 feet, are you saying? You've increased the grass play area?
Yes, about 3 feet.
And that's increased by having more compact plantings on the west and north and northeast perimeter?
Correct. Yeah, so for what right now, the plantings you see on that corner of Sunset and Astor, I guess Chris can speak to this, they are not too.
So the current bushes, the village maintains a code for the height of plantings when they come into play at a right-of-way or a corner there. So those are not code compliant. Those things were probably in a 1 gallon bucket when they got planted 20 years ago. And now they're, 12 feet tall and they hang out over the sidewalk. So those are all based on the code, gonna have to be removed. So that bed itself is probably 55, 60 inches wide. We're not gonna go back and look to replicate the same thing. I mean, that's just, from an aesthetic standpoint, from a maintenance standpoint, from a usability standpoint, those just really aren't necessary at that site. So while the playground itself has shifted 30 to 40 inches towards Sunset, the actual curb, we are gonna make up for it on the other side. So what we have out there right now from the edge of the playground to the bushes is something like approximately 3,100 square feet of play space between the driveway and the sidewalk. I would estimate we're probably in that exact same realm, give or take a few square feet here or there in the green space on the Sunset and Astor corner. Along the west edge of the property, we had initially talked about those plantings to delineate the park from the driveway and the residence to really give it a semblance of being a park district site and giving a little bit of a barrier there to the driveway. So again, as Lisa said, this is very conceptual. I mean, when you look at this plan, you see the larger circles typically represent trees, the smaller circles typically represent grasses or small shrubs. I mean, that's something that comes in something the size of a coffee can. I mean, we're talking like this.
And one of the reasons this wasn't on the earlier drawings is because we often do a lot of this in-house.
Yeah, so exactly.
we don't have to pay the contractors for looking at our idea and implementing.
Sure.
The plantings is our value.
Right, yeah. So that's why you didn't do it in the original improvement, because we do all this work in-house.
So by doing it in-house, we avoid, as we talked about earlier, having to pay the contractor to come out and continually water things, and the markup that we have to pay on plant material, which can be 20 to 50%. We did the same thing at West, we did it at Cork, we did it at Shelton, even at Berlin. So really, we can adjust this however the board, wants to, but right now I'm estimating the green space is a very similar number based on what I'm seeing here on the plat. So,
and during our park tour, I know when we talked about this park at our last committee meeting at the park tour, one of the concerns was shade, and as you can see all down the property line, we added trees that will eventually get to that shade that we're looking for in that playground in a very natural way. So,
The pluses would be proposed adds where the trees that are just round dots are existing trees. So this is a proposed add of 5 trees. Obviously they're not going to be 50 feet tall when they're delivered. We have to use our imagination, but
they'll provide excellent shade for that playground eventually. Yeah.
Is this common, this number of trees in a pocket park? Does it seem?
I mean, in our inventory, it is common. If you look at Jefferson and Vernon, you look at Old Elm, typically when we border a residence, we do have some type of landscaping or fence in particular to delineate from, the residence to the park, particularly at Old Elm. The whole parcel is surrounded by trees other than the street. The same thing at Vernon and Jefferson, the residences are both bordered by trees. Woodlawn, all the residences are bordered by trees to create that delineation. Woodlawn is a little bit bigger than a pocket park, but Jefferson and Vernon immediately comes to mind as a site that is laid out in a very similar way, with the bushes really being right at the edge of the play space.
Can you talk about the split rail fence?
So on this drawing here, we've shown a split rail fence, which is a similar fence that we have at all of our parks. So it's the wood posts with the two posts in between. You can see on, obviously, the Sunset and Astor corner, that would be north. So the north end of the site, we've dovetailed the split rail fence around maybe 10 feet or so to line up with the driveway. And then we've cut down Sunset, we fenced that. Okay, we turn the corner at Astor, that's still fenced. It goes all the way down to the edge of the site. And then we dovetail around that corner one or two sections of fence. The point of the fence really is to be compliant with the Consumer Product and Safety Commission code. The playground is adjacent to the street, so we have to create that delineation. So that's the idea behind the fence. This is our only playground right now this close to the street that doesn't have a fence. At Old Elm, which is similar distance from the street, we do have a fence.
And realizing that balls may go out in the street, but it acts as a barrier, so kids don't just dash out in the street. They would actually have to climb over the fence, look and think before they went out there.
I'm sure it's not very nice.
Yes, please.
Is this dotted line?
Chris, you want to go short?
Yeah, I can get up.
Oh, do you mind?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
do you have a pointer?
I do not have a pointer. Do you have a pointer? No. No pointer.
Sorry.
That's great. He has to cut the wall.
This particular line here. So this is the start of the fence. So it runs out here. We obviously be open for the sidewalk ADA access to the playground. Fence would run along here, go up to the edge of the residence. Steve could probably reach that out of hand. So it comes to what we're estimating in our conceptual plan about right here. So it's probably three sections of fence, maybe 12 feet, something like that. There is a little bit of a setback based on village code, where we put the sign. It's also code required as well. So is there any specific question going up here from the board?
No, but my question was, did we receive that one email from someone about they were concerned about if you remove those bushes and the kids would get in the street? So there is going to be that barrier.
Yeah, so, yes. I mean, this fence is probably about that tall. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can crawl underneath it, you can crawl over it, but you're not going to inadvertently run through it without running in.
So with the fence being there, that allows for us to use plantings that minimize their spread.
Yeah.
We don't need to create a barrier, a physical barrier with the plantings. They're more of an aesthetic barrier and something delineating the park from the other.
Right. Therefore, maximizing the green space.
This particular dash is represented as grass. So that's grass. This right now is represented as like a little ground cover. We can obviously, when we install this, we can tweak the direction however we need to. So we have grass here, this is obviously hard to see with concrete for ADA accessibility, and this is all grass here at the back of the site.
So that hardscape goes over to the south end, to the beginning of the sand?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Gives us our ADA accessible picnic bench, park bench, and access to the sand, as well as the playground here in this ramp.
Okay, great.
So the ADA accessibility is because it comes off the sidewalk and onto the mat?
Correct. So we're required to provide a 1 in 3 every. One element has to be, so we only have one park bench or one picnic table, so it must be accessible.
And that's accessible because you're going...
So it's not just the hardscape, it's also the slope.
Okay.
So it's not at a greater incline, and I can't think of the number offhand, but so it's accessible via hardscape. So that means this park currently really struggles as far as the ADA accessibility goes.
And the hardscape is the chips?
Hardscape is concrete. This is concrete, and then this is wood chips, which is also considered accessible, although it can give some mobility difficulties depending on the weather.
I forgot, is this all wood chip? Or
yes.
No, it's all wood chip.
It's all wood chip.
It's a pocket park, so.
Chris, could you talk about the transition between the wood chips and the grass? There's a
line there? Is that concrete or what
yeah,
is
so
that?
Yeah, so this is the wood chips. my couple safety coordinator. This is this area here.
Yeah.
Obviously, we would think best practice for wood chips is to put a concrete curb around that area to keep the wood chips in. This also will go to drainage structures here under the wood chips to keep this area from floating and heavy rain, from the chips rotting. So we have a lot of concrete curb. So the curb itself is at grade. It'll be the same grade as the grass. There may be a small step down into the chips, much like we have there now, but nothing considerable. So this line obviously follows the swing clearance zone, which is the code required distance around the swings that no other object can meet. So that northernmost perimeter of the playground is really specifically related to the code and the area that we have to have around the swing set.
Code is the concrete part before you get to the
grass. Yeah, so all of our playgrounds are governed by a CPSC code, which is the Consumer Product and Safety Commission. That's a standard, it's a national standard which we build all of our parks. So that's what dictates specifically where things are and how close things can be together.
Well, I think that explains the shade for sure, and that is
going
to a lot of feedback on shade.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very satisfied with all of these things that we're going to be hiring people to put in. I thought a lot of thought went into the placement of the playground. We saw how things have worked positively in the past and realized that ADA and some other things have changed since that playground first went in. And we made adjustments. As far as the fall zones and other things required some additional spreading out of some spaces. And I would like for us to keep in mind the things that we do have under our control going forward, in keeping with our entire philosophy on everything, that this is not meant to be a botanic garden, but truly a playground for kids of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to maximize the grass to the best of our ability while providing a safe environment.
Which I think this plan does call for that. That's great. So by taking out those big bushes around the corner.
I didn't realize that the strike diagonal lines, the diagonal strikes, excuse me, were a ground cover. So
it's a ground
I
cover.
I was thinking of it as the large bushes.
Oh, no.
There.
Yeah.
So I'm now transitioning my vision, such as this is limited.
Yeah, so it's not bushes, it's ground cover.
Is something that a kid would have no problem running through.
Yeah, and we might not even put that ground covering, depending on budget. It might just be grass.
Yeah.
You know, that's the landscape architects like to do different textures and stuff. We might say, hey, we don't want to maintain that, but it definitely will not be bushes. It'll be some kind of ground cover, whether that's grass or, you know.
So you're trying to address both the aesthetic appearance of it as
yes.
people walk by or drive
yep.
by, so it's softened in
right.
places and not just a big coffin. So I understand
exactly.
the balance that you're trying to
right.
strike. I have a quick question about the west along the driveway. What is the safe? What's the? I'm just addressing some comments that I've had. What is the safety area along that roadway?
So right now,
the driveway you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, the driveway. Okay.
The fence on the north end, the 8 to 12 foot overlap, is also created for delineation of landscaping. But at that point, it's really more of a visual barrier versus a physical barrier. So we inferred that by putting the landscaping in, we would be able to create a little bit of a visual barrier between the actual playground and the driveway itself, but we don't have that physical barrier in that particular location that we may have in other parks.
There's been some discussion about continuing, I don't know if you want to call it a split rail fence or whatever, the Munchie Pocket Park fence. South from Sunset along the driveway through the grass play area to keep kids from running over other things that could be left in the driveway or a car. That seems to be in keeping with the intent of the rules that we're trying to comply with.
Correct.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of parks that are butt up against driveways, so this is very unique to that. We don't have any of that butt up to a driveway.
Sure. South of Green Bay, we have an easement through the park that's a driveway.
An easement, but not a playground next
there's
to it.
There's not a playground. There is
yeah.
a park.
I'm talking, there's no park with this. So this is unique. So this is, yeah. So, you know, you could argue that because the roads have the fence at the driveway would need the same thing, because if kids were playing in the green area, if a ball went flying, they would chase it and maybe not stop.
This is one of the more modern areas in Glencoe, and so they don't have the parkways that some of the older
residential trees have. You're totally correct, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a preference for the board.
So, I know the homeowners. At other sites where we have a playground adjacent to the residence, this would be the only site where there is no parkway. Where there is a playground, so we typically see a further setback from the road than we have here. So, I mean, it would definitely be, up for further discussion if it was necessary.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Oh, the open green, like large tracts of open green. Partitions.
Sidewalk and street skirt.
Yeah.
And the village owns that typically, but not you.
That's why green grass.
Yeah, green grass. Strips of green grass. That's what
it is.
Oops. Oops. We got it.
Thanks, Chris.
If you have to decide if you want to go to the site, you have to
bring up. I'd like to address all the emails about the benches. Am I interrupting anybody's previous comment?
But it's our fact. I mean, we actually don't care about the answers here. I mean, do we say, how do we know what you guys decide?
I don't think we've made a decision yet. We're trying to get additional staff input to make sure that if we do have some conversations, that we're not crossing what our laws, guidelines, and requirements for these applications, for whether it's a swing or some of the other pieces that are in there, have certain rules. So as we're having race conversations, we're, from a variety of backgrounds, we don't have the training that some of our capable staff does. So we're trying to bounce some ideas around and then having Chris stand on chairs. So when we're going over the line again, and I don't know if they're
here,
is the family allowed to?
Usually not, but it's the board's choice to decide.
It's fine. I mean, obviously, it's open, so we'll stay here.
But it seems like we don't have if we had 50 people here, I'd be concerned about it. But if you can limit yourself to a reasonable period of time, I'd certainly.
Well,
Dudley, it's your call, Dudley.
So,
does any other board members have any comments?
Could you make whatever comments you want to make in 3 minutes?
So I think I have a question, right? I mean, I love that the trees that you're putting up, somebody made a comment that in 20 years they will create a bunch of shade, which is great, but how far over my driveway is that going to happen? Maybe we shouldn't have a giant oak tree. I don't know what kind of trees those are, but I worry how far into my driveway those trees are going to go, for example. Sort of smaller tree, not a larger tree. Again, I don't think I'm commenting, but I don't think I'm getting, the driveway, I think the split level fence going all over the driveway is needs to be an eyesore. There's no home in Glencoe that has a fence going all the way up to their driveway. And I don't think that they take it as a permanent part of it. It's never been a concern, right?
So,
what's that?
An aspen tree is similar to a birch tree. They grow tall and thin. You know what I'm saying? Aspen and birch.
Is
that white?
No.
No, an aspen tree. Is that beautiful white birch bark?
I defer to your judgment. I don't
want to try
that.
As far as the fence, I'm thinking of the playground. I really don't want you all to feel that this is me and what I think for me. The green area, when I see that, it is taking away the green space. I believe that it should be minimal. The football fence will be lovely and little planted along that. I don't know why we need to go into the space where there's ground cover. They love it. These kids, I have at least three. This last week, they know school every day. There were at least eight children, so they're not online. They're using the space. The playground is beautiful, and I don't know why we need to landscape that grass area. They're using it. I where the whole the neighborhood is. If you drive by, more often than not, there's kids there and not much of a playground. As far as, I won't mention the benches, you know how I feel. I hope you take people's thoughts into consideration. But there is one more thing now. The fence. We talked about this, and that is really important. There, it is very, and I don't mind down with it, but it's gorgeous, and it needs to be done, and you guys, it's amazing. But it's a quiet playground. It's a very quiet playground. There is, if there are kids, young kids that would think to go into my driveway, which there aren't anything, I invite kids in my driveway, and my garage is open, and kids take kids from my garage. I mean, so it doesn't happen. If it does, they are one and two. They don't know what they're doing. So when they're with the parent, that is going to stop them most likely. So to give us a fence all the way up my driveway, we have a basketball court where my three kids and their five friends are over, and they're rebounding each other, and they fall into this sliver of fence because it's right there. Is more a problem for me. I didn't tell you.
We're about out of time here.
Felt it was dangerous.
So your point on the fence is you don't want it, or you want it?
I don't want it. Kids tell me we don't need it.
Message received. Thank you.
Yeah, and my kids, it would be dangerous for my kids.
Good job.
Thank you.
So Lisa, obviously, I think that from the execution and the development standpoint, the hazards that are presented here are, with respect to the neighbors and the community, I mean, the greatest hazards that we have at the site are Astor Street, Sunset Street, and the residents' driveway. Mm-hmm. So the decision that the board needs to make is whether that hazard presents enough of a risk that we want to go ahead and put that fence in, or if we want to just, understand that there is that hazard, that we have improved the site from the previous condition by fencing Sunset and Astor, and that there is an improvement there over what we currently have. But those are really the two options that we have. It's either landscaping fence or no landscaping and no fence.
Exactly.
Chris, can you show up?
Sure.
As you draw it, the fence stops to the right of the word driveway.
Yes, that's correct.
And it was based on the feedback from the residents. That's why we stopped it there. But it's up to the board to decide if they
want to. Well, as Lisa said in our discussions, most people are not hitting the end of their driveway at their full speed. So by putting that fence in with a 15-foot run out, it did give us a little bit of slow down space. I mean, right now, this plan that we're putting in place, this could be in place for 20 years, 25 right. years. So as we design and develop parks, we have to know that we don't want to come back here and do another major renovation in 5 years. So right. We have to also put that in our thinking.
So if behaviors change, kids drive, you have to think about that down the line. 10 years.
As well, this is a young community right now, and pretty soon it's going to be like all the other houses I've lived at in Glenville, where I moved in 87, everybody was in strollers. Pretty soon the kids were terrorizing the neighborhood on big wheels. The next thing you know, they were stealing our bicycles. I mean, my kids taking my bikes.
Yeah.
That's the wonderfulness of living in a community where folks stick around for a long time.
Yeah.
And we have to think of that here as well, as Chris is saying. I personally, if you're asking my opinion, I would be uncomfortable not having some sort of barrier on the western side of the park, which borders the residential driveway, at least to, as far as the letter D in driveway. In my mind, that's about the end of the green play space. That's the southern end of it. I don't want the fence to go about that far. From the street, from Sunset going south, I would want the green space.
So it would be
defensible
just right here
to be safe. So approximately there, based on how the 12th session run and where the plantings are going to start. And reading this extremely painful print of what the size of these plants are, I'm very relieved to see that these are smaller bushes and ground covers that will break things up a little bit, even behind the central part of the western boundary, where we have a bigger concentration of planting.
Yeah.
In the center of the picture on the north, And then this is actually lovely. This is a nice variety.
Can I agree? This probably will mostly stay grass in this area, because if you run corners this way, we'll try to maximize this area. We'll have some kind of texture.
Probably put the sign on the other side and split rail fence on the edge just to continue to maximize that space.
Yeah, but a drainage issue or anything? Why the planning board or which?
I mean, we do have a drain on the site, so this point here. If you follow this line straight up to the point that is a drain, that's where our playground is going to be tied into. The scope of this project, we're not putting any drainage in the grass, so when it rains, it's going to be wet. When it rains heavily, it's going to be muddy. But, I mean, that's exactly the same condition as we have right now.
So, if I hear you guys correctly, you're saying the diagonal patch line in the lower right corner are conceptual, but we're open to you.
This is
open to maximizing the grass.
Consistent
with the idea that
you
might have some
plant
things along.
Yeah, exactly. So this is ground covering, probably, because like I said, we just got this and we just wanted to get it out.
We could probably go
grass a little bit more here with the shakers and then the ground covering and then just some grit, you know, but something to give it texture, something to give some education.
Let's start this monumental grass here.
We'll think of something short.
Yeah.
You know, because they didn't give us a spacing for planting. I mean, like as Lisa said, landscape architects start with more is more, and then we have to parse back down to what we can afford to maintain for 25 years. So if you look at the landscaping along the driveway in particular, that's a tough area to mow because you're riding your mower along the edge of the playground, you got the trees, you got the driveway, you got a lot of different items there, so I can see why they planted that out in that way. Typically in other parks, when we've had a bed like that, we've probably just done wood chips. You might see that at Shelton. We don't typically heavily landscape around the bottoms of trees just because it can be tough to maintain, and then you either have the landscaping choking out the tree or the tree choking out the landscaping. So, I mean, again, it's conceptual. I think, you know, we can make some tweaks based on board direction, and, you know, we're not trying to work plants tomorrow, so.
And this lay area, it was never designed to do a full baseball game. Even, you know, running bases, throwing the football around, playing the frisbee, you know, more, you know, not full scale, but for the baseball field and football fields are for. But it's a nice open space to provide that, you know, tag and, you know.
So what I hear you guys saying is the grass, where it says park, is grass.
Yeah,
correct.
Yep.
The diagonal lines there might be a little smaller than that.
Yeah.
Maximize grass.
Some little ground, yeah.
Soften the corner.
Yeah, soften the little
exactly.
Bit.
I heard Steve saying he would like the fence extended further to the south. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
And you need some sort of protection for the park district essentially as well.
Yeah.
So,
if they're taking the wall that way, the wall, a soccer ball goes into the driveway, someone runs that without looking because there's no barrier.
Can our
fence is coming in.
Because I want to, can we do plantings instead of a fence? I mean, the people that are playing soccer, people are the kids that are playing, and they get it, so they have to jump over it. That's how,
But
they
would say everybody stop. I understand.
So plantings, I'm saying small plantings would do the same thing and would not.
You folks are the better experts on what the safety standards should be when something abuts a place where cars go back and forth and backing up and going forward. My thought is the testimony of people who walk, who see it all the time, is really critical. So you're watching that space all the time, so hearing what you have to say about it is really important.
I know how to see you.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. That's what I mean. So it's really important for us to hear that because, you know, looking at that and hearing what you say, those are two different things.
We all care about the kids' safety. It's hard.
So,
there's been no close calls that I'm aware of.
So my thoughts, if my children were there or my kids were little, it would concern me. It would concern me, but I'm hearing you say it isn't really a concern.
They knew that.
Because a child could, you know how we're talking about kids not paying attention, they just run? Just as they might out in the street without a carpool, they might in the other direction. So for me, that feels like a concern, but if it isn't...
That's unanswered completely. My own child runs into the street. I'm actually thrilled about that.
Sure.
Because people don't know there's a park. I put a sign, slow down. But I'm aware when I bought this house. I'm very aware. I really, whether you revisit it in 5 years, 10 years, 20 with the next owner, but
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we'll do, because we just bought this. We're going to take this, that particular section back to our Panorama and check homes to see if they feel together, because that would be the ultimate decision, right? If they say, because this is like a normal park thing. So if they say, yeah, you know, err on the side of the fence, because it, you know, that's the best thing to do, protection, I think that's what we have to do. Hearing that,
I know that.
Yeah.
So that decision is going to be made by them, and we don't know the park district.
But if they say,
that's how we maintain our insurance.
Well, wait, we'll bring it back. So this isn't up for approval tonight, it's up for approval in July. So that's a good thing to point out, so we'll go back and ask them that question. That's exactly what they're here for, to say, what is your professional opinion? Should we put a split rail fence? Because this is very unusual to have a driveway right next to an open green space that kids have historically played sports on. So that's what we'll ask. We're not 100% sure to give you advice.
It's important to remember that we're basing our opinions off of, you know, our own careers and managing 14 or 15 playgrounds here, but we're managing thousands.
Yeah.
So they're going to look at the statistics, they're going to look at all types of information across their entire region that we don't have access to.
Right.
Will certainly give us some kind of a record.
Right. They might say, you know, wow, now it's a question. What about if the kids start driving and they're coming to visit and teenagers are coming in now, partner thinking 10 years online when kids are driving or having friends over?
That'd be great.
Okay, so we'll do that.
Can we talk about that? Just
you can.
10 emails
about it. You
bet. Sure.
Okay.
Do you want to say something?
You've got what you needed from us?
He wants to bring up the benches.
The benches. Okay.
So obviously, as you see in the emails, my response is in when I talk about park tour. The way the design is laid out, there is no safety hazard in this. So the discussion about we think it'll be safer is really a kind of a new point. This is designed by all the CPSC. I always get that right. Codes. So there's no safety hazard here. There was some talk about kids running into the bench and falling over. Well, the watch is one there, they might run into a tree or they might run into the swing set. So there is some obligation to the children to be aware of their surroundings, just like if they're playing in their own backyard and there's trees there. So that's not good. Safety is, you want to make sure the board knows we would never present a plan that does not follow the code and does not meet all the strict safety codes that we have in place in our playground. Our landscape architect would never present a plan like that, nor would staff do that board. So really, the benches are all about personal preference and what the board thinks is a great idea. We do, it is not common in our parks, you can look at Brighton Park,
Shelton Park.
We have benches by a lot of our swings. People do come and sit on these benches. There might be one parent pushing a child, another parent sitting down, or a nanny. Someone swinging themselves, and the two nannies are talking, or babysitters, or friends, or whatever. We have seen that adaptation in our parks. Maybe that hasn't been done in this park because there was never that opportunity to do, but we have seen that application there. That's just the preference to do that. We do have the architects and I, we thought it would be nice to have benches here because we would have this open play area. So if you bring a 5-year-old and they're playing this area, maybe you're not comfortable leaving them alone. You're going to sit here and read a book while they play. You know, that's why you're there for. But again, personal preference, if you like, there is no safety hazard to that.
My preference is whatever happens, we need to have one of the two benches. My preference is for the western bench. That allows for someone to sit there, yes, the upper bench.
Yeah.
Someone can sit there and pretty much watch a kid anywhere in the park from that point. From that one point, the bench immediately below it, the eastern perimeter, that can be blocked if there's people. They can't see kids in the sandboxes easily if the picnic table is occupied. So I think we need to keep that bench. The picnic table and the other bench that's towards the south end of the park, immediately below the play structure, those are our ADA bench and picnic table. So those discussion either. If we're thinking we want to lose the bench, and obviously I'm saying I'd be most interested in losing the bench in the center of that drawing on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
The side of the park that doesn't have a bench at all is over by the sand area. Where is there? Well, there is one ADA bench.
There's an ADA bench.
There's
one
ADA bench.
Right
there.
Yep, that one right there.
Because that's on a concrete surface.
And there's a, we call it a buddy bench, so if you are in a mobility assistance device like a wheelchair, you can park here, and your friend can actually sit right next to you and have the same experience as being on
that. And it kind of allows that, I think the thought was that bench oversees the sand.
And that's the same location, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually.
Other commissioners, comments?
There are, thank you. There are, first, I think that we have given the community a lot of opportunity for comment about this park. I believe that staff's done the right thing to publish things online and so forth. I also think that I fully accept and agree with the assertion that the benches are a code and we have a lot of precedent for it. Lisa and Chris, or Chris, I don't want to speak for you, but Lisa said in an email that you and she included that it's not a safety issue one way or the other, whether the benches are there or not.
Right. Correct.
And so, one of the awesome things, I guess, about this community that really I'm learning for the first time, and frankly, I'm impressed by, are that 10 people were willing to write emails and several were willing to come to this meeting tonight to comment about the benches. I counted them all up. I apologize if I made a mistake, but I heard 10 people comment. 9 of them said that they don't think benches belong there. And one said, if it costs money to move them, I don't think we should move them. So to me, that feels like an opportunity for us to improve the design. And in particular, if we move, like maybe take both benches out, if we move one of them closer to the sandbox, where, you know, as a parent who had kids who played in the sandbox not too long ago, that's where I would want to sit, is right next to the sandbox.
I was thinking, look, at the top of that sandbox structure, what is the southwest corner? That's underserved by benching.
So that's a low spot. Any additional changes to this would probably require some change order costs, some additional redrafting of the plan in particular. I mean, if we're starting to delete wholesale items and such, but you know, everything is attainable at this point. We haven't pushed up over the ground, so really it's up to the board feedback.
So we would have to, if we move the bench to the side, we have to put for the a pad there. That's best practice, and that's what we do. So we would put a pad between there. So there, but there would be no sidewalk being up there, so people would have to push their strollers through grass and everything. I just want to manage expectation at that point.
I thought that perhaps an intelligent compromise would be to lose the one bench. We're still getting some concrete there delineating the fall zone with the wood chips and that. So that doesn't change that part of the contractor. And if the bench is already in order, it's a standard bench that we can add to our inventory for repairs and replacements elsewhere.
Correct. So everything has been ordered that you see.
That's what I thought.
So the concrete hasn't been delivered. So we have a great relationship with the contractor. So I would imagine that we would not have to. We would have an additional cost of pouring another pad, and there might be some savings in not pouring, say, the east pad or the west pad or whatever. But again, it's mostly the concrete cost, but you gotta remember, think about it over 20 to 25 years. You know, that's typically how long concrete bench pads last, the bench lifespan, 10 to 12 years itself. So, you know, think about it in those terms.
Is it your estimate?
Yeah, that's what
that
might.
Did that
change
those
one?
Well, that's for moving a bench pad that we had to have to be redrafted. I mean, because if we start changing the playground curves and excavation.
You would not change that. You get too late in the game to change that, right?
So
you're talking about putting a pad.
Sure.
Just a pad. Yeah, we're just talking about putting a pad. That's what my estimate was, just putting a pad, not changing anything. It's too late in the game to change curves.
You can put a stash on there. Put one of these benches on top of that pad and just hook the other bench out.
Or up of the bench, right. There you go, $3,000.
Yes, about 3 minutes. Sure.
Give or take.
So
based on the feedback we got, I'm just giving my opinion. I know you may disagree with it, but my opinion would be move one of the benches between the two trees and take the other one out. There's already a picnic table, bench, and another bench.
Stephanie?
Lisa? I'm thinking, but I have to say, I've said this to a couple of other people, when I took my kids to the playground and they were in the sandbox, I did want to get rid of them. And I did want to be in the sand. So the idea of putting a bench between those two trees, marked by the two trees, does seem like a practical consideration, so that you're seated where your youngest children are playing in the sand. So I'd love to know how much it costs and how it's going to affect the budget. Maybe we'll have a couple of fewer trees. I don't know how this all plays out, but that would be something that I could get my head around, putting a bench between those two and having it near the sandbox.
I've never seen a sandbox.
Would you remove one of the benches then?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, would you remove one of the other benches then?
Yeah, oh yes, yes. I wouldn't add an additional one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
One or both?
One, you move one, and would you remove the other from by the swing set? That's what we're trying to get some summary here.
It's hard for, honestly, this is the way it's drawn, and now I'm trying to think, how's it going to look with just one bench? You know, there's a symmetrical nature to the design, and the designers have a aesthetic, a practical sort of approach to this.
So I'll give you another layer. So as it's drawn, the bell swings are closer to the driveway, and the bucket swings are closer to the Astor Street.
Okay.
So the 2 to 5 swings are closer to Astor, and the bell swings, the older kids, are closer to the driveway as it's drawn right now. That's the way it's going to have to remain based on the fall zone here. So this is where the smaller kids are going to be, this is where the older kids are going to be.
And I think it would be fine with one bench, but it would be fine.
I find moving that bench mostly enough that I've heard about shade, and that is a nice shaded area. And I mean, it is, I don't like to spend more money because I think we're doing another project and we're going to like
that. But we're still under budget, so we're still using to do that, and that to me makes sense. We're still under budget,
so
we're still within the
timeline
of this particular budget right now.
So that's Dudley, do you want to?
Well, what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of potential for removing one of the benches adjacent to the park and perhaps locating it next to the, I'll call it the sand area. That would eliminate the need for the cost of another bench, but we wouldn't need another we don't need to, that's so we put it in a concrete pad.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we have to have a concrete pad. Doesn't really matter to me which one we would remove, but that would take care of it for me. Otherwise, I'm in pretty good shape on the plan.
But I think what's not clear to me is I think most of us have said move one of the benches between the two trees.
Yes.
But what is everybody wants to leave the other bench where it is, or whether not everybody, whether most people want to leave the other bench where it is, or just take it out of the field. My vote would be to take it out of the field.
I have strong feelings. I like the idea.
I would leave one of the benches. It works very well in our park. And so I agree with taking one of them and moving over the stand. I would leave the other one there for the idea. Okay. And I like Steve's idea about the sideline. But then someone who, if the kids are playing in this area, they have a seat. I know no one's used it now, but there's a
leaving the western bench is the only bench on that side. Moving the bench below it, closer to Astor Street, between the two trees, then we have a bench over there on the south side, and we kind of distributed the benches a bit more throughout the park. So if you were asking us for a recommendation,
I think you got it.
I mean, just to see how the usage of the sand, that unique sand shape, stuff works.
I know, it's very exciting. That's a great sand area. Okay, so the recommendation is to move the and we don't even have to make a motion on this. This is a change order within our my purview. So move this bench to here, to that pad. I have about $3,000 cost to do that one there. We're going to go back and look at, talk to Moderna about this bench here. This, we're going to keep as much into grass with some texture here. Look at the trees. The landscaping plan will come back to the board for approval in July.
Okay.
I think that when we look at the plant in July, I don't think we want to go into plant species selection.
No, we're not going to go into plant. It's just a layout in the plant location. We're not going to. That's getting into a little bit micromanaging.
Push me.
it would just be the deciding on the final fence.
Okay, great.
To give the board the recommendation. That's it.
I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. No executive session today. Yes. All right. We're going to go right into personnel and policy.